This lovely Advent morning where we enjoy beautiful clear skies and crisp air and don't have to dig out of the snow. So let's pray. Father, we ask that your Spirit would come and you would reveal to us the beauty, the wonder, the majesty of the child that was sent for us, that was sent for this world, that was sent for your creation. You might open our heart and our mind to the depths of his goodness and his glory, and we would see with new eyes the depth of your love for us through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I was scrolling the other day, watching little clips, and I came through a series of short clips from movies, and it just made my spirit curl because it was a profane use of Jesus, the name of Jesus. It was just one after another in these scenes of these movies where our Lord's name was used in vain. You know, we don't in the Western world have the same appreciation for a name that some cultures have, that the biblical culture has. You know, if it is if we did, I think we would reflect more on the importance of the second commandment, you know, or is it the second? Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. I mean, how important is this that the Lord would say, you got to protect my name? And so we will hear all kinds of things about the name of our Lord Jesus Christ being used in some blasphemous way or some angry way or some cursing way in the movies. I always wondered, why do that? For those of us that are believers, we would not do it because it is sacred, but the world does it because it's sacred. And it's the darkness, it's coming out of the kingdom of darkness. The name was so important to the Jewish community, the name of God, Yahweh, that they didn't use it, except once when the high priest would go into the Holy of Holies once a year and utter the name. So sacred was the name in their mind. They would refer to the name. They would not use the name Yahweh. And in fact, when my Jewish friends would type or send me a note, if they were going to mention God, it was capital G, subline, and then D. They wouldn't even type out the whole name. And then we refer to the name, they would leave the A out, lest they in some way profane the name, or used it in vain. The word to use it in vain means to make common. One of the English equivalents of common is vulgar. A vulgarity means to make something common. And so we are taking a look at the names of our Lord through the promises of the prophet Isaiah and unpacking those gifts. Words that we hear so often, and yet we have really, how many of us have sat back and reflected or done any kind of study as to, well, what does that really mean? And then what is the implication for us? And what is the promise of God into it? And so as we are here looking at the various names and titles of the child that was promised to us, promised to Israel in the midst of international devastation, national chaos, religious and social deprivation was going on. In the midst of that, God spoke a promise through the prophet, unto you a child would be born, unto us. And he speaks that to you and me today. That's what we're celebrating with all of this. It's not just a cute little manger scene, but all of humanity has been changed. And not only all of humanity, but your life can be radically shifted if you are not now knowing Jesus Christ. And just talk to some believer who has walked with Christ for any length of time, and they will tell you what a radical shift, what a change, what a joy it is to know Jesus Christ. So I invite you to stand for the hearing of this passage that we have chosen. You've heard for every Christmas that you have been around. From Isaiah, the 9th chapter, the 6th and 7th verse, "For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. And he will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on until forever. And the zeal of Yahweh Almighty will accomplish this." This is the word of the Lord. I invite you to be seated. I spoke last week about the situation, the Sitzenleben, if you will. You want to use a German term that the prophet was speaking into. What is the situation of life of the people? You had an alliance going on between Syria and northern Israel, and they were trying to co-opt and pressure the southern kingdom, Judah, into fighting with the Assyrians. And the Assyrians came in and set aside the king in Judah and put in their own vassal government. And it was just a mess, let alone the religious mess. The people have walked away. They were worshiping other gods. In the midst of all of this, the prophets were speaking and calling them to repentance and to turn back to the Lord. And in the midst of this, there is the promise, "Unto you, unto us, a child is born." We spoke about how the government is on his shoulders, and what that means is that not the government of temporal Israel and the governments of the world, but the government of the kingdom of God and its establishment was on his shoulders to establish and to reign over. And that was literally came true when he took the cross upon his shoulders. The government, the future of the kingdom of God was on his shoulders. And so today we're taking a look at the passage of the title, Mighty God. What is Mighty God? You think about that, I was thinking, you know, for all these years, I was thinking, well, it means it's a strong God. He's mighty. Go God, right? If you've, how many have had someone come to your door with a little Watchtower Bible and Tract Society? Okay. Hands up, come on, there you. And how many of you all gone to their door and shared? Yeah, I didn't think so. We tend not to do that. Well, my hope is that you greeted them graciously and were able to articulate to them who Jesus is. But they will turn to this past and say, see, he's not called Almighty God. And before you even get to that passage of who he is, we have to talk about what this means. What does Mighty God mean? In the Hebrew, it's El Gabor. And it's not just somebody who's strong. Gabor is the one who is your champion. He is mighty in battle. He is the one who comes to save, who fights for you when you cannot. And so in understanding he's the mighty God, it does not simply have the idea of being strong, but the idea of being your champion in battle. And to understand that, to make sense of that, one has to really understand how does the scriptures formulate or frame life? Is it we're just trying to get through this, or is there something much deeper going on as we are going through the seasons of life and the experience of life, this adventure of life? The Western world is really big on everything except the spiritual aspects of reality. You look at with superstitious eyes in the Western world. It wasn't too long ago that, you know, pastors and clergy were not really too welcomed into the healing environment of a hospital. We were who was called when they couldn't do anything more, but we weren't seen as someone who can really be a part of a healing team because we had reduced the human body and to the sciences and to biological interactions. And then they started doing all kinds of tests where they realized people who were being prayed for got better faster than those who didn't. And even when they prayed for people and people didn't know they were getting prayed for, they still improved. And so there's something much more going on here. The Bible talks about us not only being of our mind, we are okay with our psychology, but and also our body, our biology, but then we have our spirit, and our Western world doesn't really have a grasp of how that interrelates. But the scripture does. That spiritual realm and how it works on time, in time and space. Someone asked me one time if I believed in that there were aliens on another planet. And my response was, well, I don't have any evidence of that, but I do believe that there are beings from other dimensions of reality. That's what scripture talks about. When it talks about from the heavens, it's talking about multi-dimensional realities. The Jesus Christ and the living God and his angels that intersect and work in this dimension, they are from another dimension of reality. The demonic are as well. And so when we talk about this mighty God, the framework for doing so, we have to remember, is the biblical one, is that we do not war against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, about wickedness and high in the heavenlies, that is in the spiritual dimension, that are working against humanity and against people and against individuals. And its greatest weapons are fear and death. And we can do really nothing about the death. We know it's coming, but we don't think it's coming to us, at least not for a time until it comes knocking. And most of the world makes up something to cope with it. But we have our champion, our warrior, is this child who's come to go before us into this. And so when Paul is talking about, hey, remember, we are not fighting flesh and blood. People are not the enemy. Even those who would be our enemies are not the enemy. The enemy is a spiritual individual, a horde of them who war against God and war against us. And since they can't do anything against to God, they go after God's people and they go after people. And he talks about that. Scripture talks about that. So this is who the mighty one is. The mighty one is El Gabor, our champion in battle. But who is the mighty one? Let's go to that next one. Who is the mighty one? Well, some would say, well, this is the child, this is Jesus. He is a mighty God, but not the mighty God. Well, that fails because in the 10th chapter of Isaiah, we have these words at verse 21. A remnant will return. A remnant of Jacob will return. So it's talking about a future when they will return, not just to the land of Israel, but they will return to God himself. And we see that happening as people are coming to know the love and the mercy of God through the Messiah, Jesus Christ. He says, we will return to the mighty God. Here it's clearly Yahweh, the God, the covenant God of Israel. So who is this one that's coming, this child? Is this welcome to the mystery of the incarnation? For unto us a child is born. Who is this child? Now that question has separated humanity from his existence. Who is this? Was a question constantly asked by people that watched him in his ministry, that the church has struggled with. For the first centuries, the church struggled with who is Jesus Christ. It was going back and forth between what was an Arian kind of theology, which was he is a mighty God, he is the mighty God. He is much as God as the Father and the Spirit. And so as we are taking a look at who he is, this God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God who appeared to Moses in the burning bush, this is the God who's coming to us in this child. That's the amazing thing. Anyone with some reflection on this would say, well, I don't quite understand it. Well, that means you do understand it. Because if you thought you understood it, you don't understand it. How can the God of heaven and earth, the Creator, in all of his glory and splendor, place himself in all the fullness of God in a child. We don't know how that happens. We know it happens, but we don't understand how he was able to do that. And then people ask these questions, well, who did Jesus pray to? How could he be God if he prayed to God? Well, he prayed to his Father. Welcome to the mystery. We have Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and these three are the one God. And this mighty God came to us, the champion, our champion, the champion of his people in this child. And so you have the history of seeing the mighty deliverance of God. We are celebrating communion today. This is a celebration of a number of things. It is a celebration of the Passover meal. We were supposed to be celebrating the Passover until the end of the age. Well, we are doing that every time we celebrate communion. We're celebrating the Passover of the wrath of God. If you remember that at the last plague, they were supposed to take blood and put it on the doorpost and the lintel, which makes a cross. And the angel of death would enter the land and see the blood and pass over that house. The wrath of God would pass over that house. Didn't matter who was in the house. What the angel of death looked for was the blood of the sacrifice of the Lamb. Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world, John said. By this time, the Egyptians were not buying the spin coming out of the palace. They said, we're going to go hide with the Hebrew people. And if you take a look at every one of those plagues, as God was delivering his people from the bondage in Egypt, every one of the plagues was an assault on one of the gods of Egypt. Every one of them. One of their gods, the life-giving, his life-giving blood was seen as the Nile. And what happened? It was turned to blood. And everything in it died. Ra, their sun god. And what did God do? 3 days of darkness. The sky god that they had. And hail fell. Flies, one of their gods is pictured as the head of a fly. Here, you want to worship that god? Here, have lots of them. Until finally, the last plague was the firstborn of every animal, and every family would be taken. And that was an assault on Isis, who was the defender of the children, Osiris, who was the god of life, and on Horus, who was the defender of the king. Every one of them was a spiritual assault on the gods of Egypt. And so God delivered his people, and we celebrate that deliverance here. And you can take a look at time and again as the mighty champion of God and his people delivering them. And he brought them out of Egypt, and they stood there at the sea. And what happened with the angel? Well, the Egyptian people decided, what did we do? Who's going to serve us? So they came to go get the people again. And the armies of Egypt are coming at them. The Red Sea is in front of them. And Moses, stand back and watch the salvation of your God. And the mighty champion of God's people split the ocean, and they went through on dry ground. Time and again, we see the mighty hand of God. Till, even young David, who facing Goliath, who says to him, you come out and against me with sword and shield. I come against you in the name of Yahweh, the God of Israel. When life comes at you hard, you have a champion for you. When you're faced in situations that you cannot control, which is most of them, we have a champion who's gone before us. When we say goodbye to our loved ones and the quietness of a house reigns in, we have a champion who has come against the powers of darkness. This is who this mighty God is, who delivers his people. But he's also your mighty God, our mighty God, not only corporately as the people of God, but individually. He is my champion. He is your champion. He gave himself, this is a celebration of the crucifixion, which was the cosmic Passover of the wrath of God, that all who would believe in Jesus Christ would not perish, but have eternal life. All who would turn to him. The thief on the cross, in those last minutes, who started that day railing against Jesus, had a moment of repentance and said, remember me, and Jesus' grace to him, today you'll be with me in paradise. Why is that? Because we have a champion who's gone against sin and death. You and I can do nothing against the powers of hell. We're told in Colossians, he has delivered us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of the Son he loves. You and I can't do this, but our champion, our mighty God can, and has done that for every one of us that looks to him. You and I can't fix ourselves. How many of you tried to fix yourself? Some of you don't even know you need fixing. Just ask around. Right? Most of us have someone in the family that needs fixing. You experience that at Thanksgiving, you might experience that again at Christmas. It's true. Right? I can't fix myself. That's one of the wisdom, the part of the wisdom of Christian spirituality. It's got in the 12 steps. I can do nothing against my addiction or my fear or my food issues or my drug issues or my alcoholism. I cannot do anything, but I have to depend solely on the one who can. My champion in Christ Jesus, who can deliver me, who can set me free, who will set me free, who is willing to set me free. That's who this is. He is your mighty God. And some of you have almost given up hope. And the reason why we get frustrated is because we're trying to do God's job. Lord, I'm struggling with some area of sin, and I'm tired of it. And I can't quite seem to quit it coming at me. But did you know that every time you say no to temptation, whatever it is, you are clarifying who you are, and that is a victory. And it may be that you just need to, you are going to live into what the Apostle Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. I'm not going to take this away from you, but my grace will allow you to sustain in this until there's a day of deliverance when we're in his presence. He is our mighty God in the face of the illness that comes our way. He's our mighty God when we are looking at things that we can't do anymore because we're aged. And we used to do, and we should think we should be able to do so easily. And we see our strength and our life slipping away. He's our mighty God when that relationship that you thought was going to last forever, and you made your covenants before God, and it unwound in 3 or 4 years, and it's not what you had hoped for, dreamed of. But he is your mighty God to go before you in it with his mercy. This is who our Savior is. This is who your mighty God is. You and I can't do anything about the demonic, but in Christ Jesus, he has destroyed the powers of darkness and now given all who believe authority to stand against them. Not even death, nor powers, nor principalities can separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. This has been done by your mighty champion, this child who was promised and who walked this earth as Jesus Christ. That's who we celebrate. That's our Advent. So as you are going, and we're going into the Advent season and we're in it, but as you move towards Christmas, remember what we have in this child that we celebrate, and as you read the narratives and the birth accounts, the powers of darkness were desperate to end this child because this is the child who is the mighty champion of God and God's people to bring salvation to all who would believe. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for sending the child, your son, Jesus Christ, He was our champion. You destroyed sin and death at your cross and your resurrection. You have undone the powers of darkness. They have no power over us, no authority over us, Lord. And we pray, and I pray, that you would set people free in the name of Jesus from things that are harassing them and hanging on to, whether it be fear or lust or anger or rage, whatever it is, Jesus, these things do not have place in our life. For we belong to you. We've been bought with a price. And Lord, I ask that you would go before everyone here. And when the challenges of life come at us and the powers of darkness rail at us, that we would say, we come against them in the powerful name of our Savior, in the powerful name of our mighty God, our El Gabor, our champion, Jesus Christ. In whose name we pray. Amen.